Here's a space so powerful it allows an ordinary fan to share a cheer with the owner of a team, a platform where supporters understand intricate details of players' rights, a setting that bridges the gap between the dressing room and the grandstand, a space where tactics meet opinion, transfer news meet gossip, and the VAR system meets social media, a space for the football tribe. Le Coco. La Space.
And a powerful shot, testing Bono from Taboko Mokwena. Mokwena to deliver. And a chance, and that's just gone over the top. Hakimi, little slip from Modiba. Hakimi, chance now for Morocco. Bearing down, he's going to shoot, and he puts it wide, and Williams has scored. That was Amala. As we go to the break, he has still goalless at San Pedro. Morocco 0, South Africa 0. Unani driving the side forward now, a little ball in for Nesli. That's back, Unani's got a chance here. Straight through, little touch in from Sitoli. Makoko looks offside, check it back in the net. Flag stays down. The goal is given. Makoko with the opener for South Africa. It's Sitoli. Williams saves. The follow up cleared by Mvala. What an opportunity at the other end. A straight red for Amrabat. It's a ready goal.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is a Thursday, 7 o'clock. I see our guest is here. We're going to be having a conversation on Scouting 101. No stone will be left unturned. And I've been trying to get hold of this guest for some time, and I've been trying to have him in our space for some time now. But we do have him nonetheless, so there's no time to complain. Before I officially welcome my guest, I think it's time that I officially kickstart the space. That was just a reflection of the Bafana match that we experienced. I'm sure there was joy filled into the hearts of every SADC member. And I'll say SADC because I've seen our neighbors from Botswana celebrating. I've seen our neighbors from Namibia celebrating. It's like they know now they're sending the big boys or the big brother to do their job for them. So do welcome to the space. Without further ado, let me officially kickstart the space and we'll move on.
Here's a space so powerful it allows an ordinary fan to share a cheer with the owner of a team, a platform where supporters understand intricate details of players' rights, a setting that bridges the gap between the dressing room and the grandstand, a space where tactics meet opinion, transfer news meet gossip, and the VAR system meets social media, a space for the football tribe. Le Coco, La Space.
Yep, transfer news meet gossip. In the VAR system meets social media. We are here on social media. It is Le Coco La Space, powered by Hollywood Bets. And I'll be your host this evening as usual. I go by the name Le Coco, and I hope I do justice to the space. You could have been anywhere else. You've taken your time. You're here. You've lended me your ear, and I hope you learn a thing or two. What I would suggest is you fetch a pen and paper, because I have a feeling class might be in session. You need to take notes. You might need to share the learnings that you've had this evening. So you can quickly run and get your pen and paper, and then we can have this conversation. We are available on Apple Podcasts. We're also available on Spotify. Search Lekoko Space without any spaces and you'll find us. All the conversations that we have will be documented for future generation so that we find it easier to make reference. Let me not waste much of your time. I'm going to take this moment and welcome a gentleman that I've been trying with all my might to get into the space because I felt that we have to have his knowledge. Tati, welcome to the space.
Finally, Lekoko, you can hold of me. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, my brother. And I'm not that kind of a big person who wants to be famous. So I'm running away from the public and from everyone and just do my job. Anyway, thanks for having me and finally getting hold of me. And thanks to everyone who's listening.
It is a pleasure. And I remember, because people take it for granted that maybe I just hit people up and then they're available. I remember there was a conversation that we had and you said, maybe not, I'll think about it. And then I high-pressed you at one of the matches. I think it was Sundowns against SuperSport. I had to come to you in person and say, hey, Mkuluwa, the people want you.
Yeah. No, it's one of those. We work differently, Lekoko, you know. And when we love our job, we just want to focus on the job at hand. And then you just forgot about everything else. So, yeah, I'm okay. We can go on.
I'm glad that you're okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to be opening the lines for you guys at 15 minutes before top of the hour so that you can ask your questions. You're also more than welcome to DM me your questions. You can put it on the timeline as well. I'll be able to read it. Tati, you mentioned the fact that you travel a lot. And I'm sure your passport must be filled with stamps, but 36 countries is a lot, Mkuluwa. How do you handle being away from home so many times?
Yeah, look, I've been doing international scouting since 2016. And that was before I joined Sundowns 2017. So, yeah, I've got about 4 passports in the last 4 years. And having traveled to 39 countries, not 36.
And I stopped counting at 36.
And it's all about scouting and international scouting. But I've started that in 2016 in terms of traveling internationally. But doing scouting, I started 2004.
But now, Lindaba of scouting, because we don't really hear much about it. Yes, sometimes you do hear Umchita saying, I want to be an analyst, because obviously you would have come from the coaching background.
Yeah.
Because did you ever do coaching? Were you ever interested in coaching? Did you play the game? Let's start there.
Okay, let me first introduce myself, Lekoko. I'm Utera, but my name is Utembele Wakwamadiwa. I'm from Cape Town. I was born and raised in Cape Town. And the love of scouting started in 2003, in fact. But at that time, I was coaching at a junior level, and also I was playing as well in Cape Town. So it started then, 2004. I knew that I was not good enough to make it in football. And I had this love of coaching. But during my coaching era, I could identify players who I think would be good enough for my team while I was coaching. And also I was coaching a school as well, where I'm coming from in Khayelitsha. And I started to love the identifying of a talent. And that's all it started. And I remember I then went to become a community scout for Ajax Cape Town in 2005. And that's where it started to develop more for Ajax Cape Town.
And because you're mentioning Ajax Cape Town, it would be interesting for me to find out about how did they find out about you? Did you approach them? Did you knock on their door? Because when you mention Ajax Cape Town, I'm thinking of Uta Shoes.
Yeah.
Uta Shoes is one humble human being. So I'm just trying try and put the pieces together and find out how did they find you.
Okay, what used to happen in Ajax Cape Town used to have an old man by the name of Ian Towers. He was from England. He was a head of the academy and scouting. So they were always going to the communities, and I was always recommending players to Ian Towers. They had a project or the program, a scouting called Tiny Tots. So it was for the boys at 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old. So I would always recommend players to him to such an extent that he realized that, look, this guy has got an eye, why we don't use him? So that's how they started using me at IX. Tiny Talks is a program where we discovered the players as Jengo Hashim Domingos at 9 years old. Abo Mubara, who's at AmaZulu now at 10 years old. A lot, because it was only about the young players from 10, 9, 10, maybe 8. So, yeah, till later on, I created my own program, but we'll talk about that when we go on the further conversation.
Yeah, we'll definitely touch on that. But you're mentioning a 10-year-old Mubara, you're mentioning a 9-year-old Hashim Domingo. Now, when I look at these 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds, I just see a bunch of boys just running after the ball, going in one direction. There's no structure with football. What are the key elements that you'd want to identify when you be dealing with such fragile age?
To be honest, people don't understand. This all goes with luck sometimes. And also, because you can't really tell sometimes when a 9-year-old whether he's going to be a footballer at 18-year-old, you know. So you need to impress him. You need to change his mind if you feel like he's going to be a good player. But it's not guaranteed that he'll be a good player. So with them, it's just about them enjoying the game, not even putting more necessarily in terms of how they must play. Just let them enjoy, and you can see sometimes the way he's so eager and hungry at a 9-year-old and 10-year-old. Sometimes you see one of them with good technique, but he doesn't know that is a technique that is needed in football. You only know because you're seeing him. So there are those things that you look at, the technique, the passing, the kicking of the ball, the hunger in his face and his eyes, and yeah.
And, you know, you are also mentioning something that you are forcing me to touch on, because you when you mention 9-year-olds, when you mention 10-year-olds, and when you mention the passion and the hunger that you then have to you nurture, I would then ask now, because most of the development phase, we are dealing with coaches that are not necessarily qualified. They're just being driven by passion. What would you say qualifications are necessary?
Look, to be honest, that's the biggest problem we have in this country, whereby we don't have youth coaches who are qualified. Because remember, coaching is about teaching. And it's like in school, if you're teaching wrong things in class, the learner is not going to progress. And that's a problem that we have, because clubs, maybe they don't have facilities. They don't have money maybe to bring top coaches. Because when they are not qualified, there are things that they are missing. I'll give you an example we're going to touch later. When I was staying in Holland for 2 years, you know, you will find a UEFA coach coaching under 11. A very, very much qualified coach, but he's starting at under 11 to coach. And you tell me, those boys will learn a lot in terms of the coaches. But the problem now that we have is that these under-11s, these 10-year-olds, they are coached by the parents who just come from work and go to the field and coach, because maybe the club doesn't have facilities, doesn't have money, doesn't all of those. But it is very, very important. It should start at the qualification level at a very young age, at the grassroots level, so that we help these kids grow. Because, for instance, you know, in Europe, when you go, the kid, when you find him at 10, they've already set up in terms of how many hours should he train till he get professional. If he train those hours with the professional setup, by the time he's 17, 16, he's ready for the Premier League already, because it's that there are those hours. So our boys are missing a lot of hours in terms of coaching.
And you mentioned a program that you're running. Before we try and venture into the countries that you've gone to, the landscape that you've covered, I want to find out a bit more about the program that you're running.
Okay, I'm not running it now. I used to run them during my time at IX. So at IX, we used to have people from Holland that were sent by IX Amsterdam to help us. Either it's going to be the coach, it's going to be the sport director, head of the academy. So when I took over from a guy by the name of John Rowley, who was a head scout then, me and Martin Stegelenberg, we started a program called First Touch. So, you know, when you are a scout or you've got a scouting department in your club, you need to find ways You need to find programs of how to identify talent, where to identify talent. Because remember, we had under 12s. Our teams were starting from under 12s. So our under 12s, mm-hmm. end of the season, they were becoming the under 13, under 14. So we had a question that, okay, now the under 12, 13 have moved up. So where are we going to get the players to make the under 11? So now you need to start a program before that under 12 goes up a year later. So I started a program called First Touch. So what we do, I was in all the places where about 18 areas in Cape Town. Let's say you've got your Soweto, you've got Pretoria, you've got Benoni and whatsoever. So in those 18 areas, I had a coach. And then in that one area, there's one LFA with 20 teams. So I would ask a coach to select in his own area to select 16 best 11-year-olds or 10-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And then what he would do, he's going to train them. They're about 6 months, once a week. Because remember, those players that are belonging to their clubs. So you can't take them the whole week from that area. So you train them once on Thursday. So we give them the equipment to train those boys. Then what's going to happen after 6 months? What is going to happen after 6 months is that each coach from those 18 areas must select his best three. So you're going to count now 3 times 18. So all of those boys will come to Ikamva, which is where we were from. Mm-hmm. And then we start training with our own coaches as the Ajax Cape Town. Now we're trying to look the best 20 players out of that age group, you know? And then we select all of those. They will train with us for 3 weeks before the end of the year. And then we select the best 20. Then that best 20, a year after, for a few months, they will be Ajax under 12. So we had that program, and what we were doing, we will not let all those coaching to select, train those boys, and then we don't know. We go and visit them, have a look and check how they do things. So those are the programs. If you want your scouting department to succeed, you need to create programs, how you can find talent and how you can get players. So I would say in that first touch, that's where we find players like Luke Leroux, who has a film, which is now in Sweden, in Holland. Tazrik Matthews, who just signed by Sundowns now. They were 11 at that time. Jaden Adams at Stellenbosch, he was 11 years at that time. Keegan Johannes, who's at Supersport now, was at that program at that time. There were a lot that we found from that program. There were 11 years old. Some of them now are playing PSL, and then some of them are playing in Europe.
And you have this perception, Abantu, where they're peddling this perception that it costs a lot to run development. Yes, I do understand that it's a lot, and I do understand that the scouting program, but it seems like with the First Touch program that you're mentioning, it makes sense why Ikamva became a hub for talent without necessarily having to pump in a lot of money. So working with the community, so you say.
Yeah, it was very, you remember, these boys are coming from the community, so you need to be friends with the community. You need to be visible in the community. You need to bring the plans and the program to the community, because those are the ones that can help you. Of course, if someone would say, look, it's very difficult to start to do those programs and so, but if you're not clued up in terms of how you're going to get your players, how you're going to identify players, what programs you need to have. And so I can tell you, my brother, that program, it was very big and it was very good. You go to Cape Town and they will tell you about the First Touch program. It was only made for 9, 10, 11-year-olds. That is where we find players. So, yeah.
It sort of became like E. Baker's mini cricket of football.
Yes.
No, I get you. Let's moving on a bit. I want us to move on and touch on who, because now you have these players, you have this pool of players, and you were able to scout these players. You mentioned the fact, Yoba, you'd have to communicate with the coaches, and I remember you mentioning the importance of having contacts. The importance of contacts. Does it then come from that community? Because I would assume right now your contact list ranges far and wide outside the country. And did it start then? Did you build it from there?
I can tell you, if you're a scout, you will never survive without contacts. Doesn't matter who are those contacts. Mostly those contacts at an amateur level are the coaches, where they coach these boys. You need to identify one person in one area who's coaching these boys, who's dedicated his time on these boys, who love these boys, got passion for football. Those are your contacts, because anything that happens, if Likoko is calling me and said, there's a player in Orlando. I'm not going to go to that player first and have a look. I'm going to contact my person who's in Orlando to say, listen, there's a player by the name of this and this. Do you know him? No, I don't know. Okay, go and watch him and then you come back and tell me. So the contacts are very important. And that's what I'm using at the moment, even to international scouting. I've got a lot of contacts who I rely on and ask them a lot of questions. So contacts are very important. And even in the community, you need to have someone in the community that the person of football is coaching, who knows these boys, and those are the people that helped you.
I've had coaches on the space, I've had analysts, I've had journalists, I've had players, I've had even retired players, and I've asked them one question, and most of them seem to not give me a clear answer. But I would assume, because you are the one person that would be monitoring the player from one, different areas, two, from a very young age up until graduation, three, different demographics. What would then be your ideal South African player, and what style would suit this South African player? Because we hear a lot of the times people say, but we are not playing the South African way. We are not catering to our players. And what would you then say is the South African way that everybody is talking about that suits the South African player?
The reason why you don't really get the correct answer is because I'm not sure if people know exactly what is our culture or how do we want to play. And I think that goes with the modern football, the modernization of football. The football is modern. If we won AFCON in 1996 in a certain way, it won't work now. You know what I mean? If we had a good game and beat Cameroon in 1992 when we came in to international football, the way we played that day, it won't work now. You know, so you end up not really sure what is our style of play, because the game has been modernized a lot, you know, and also in scouting as well, there's a lot of technology involved and so forth. To be honest, I'm gonna be the same people that don't give you the real answer to say what is our football, how do we want to play. But I'll just say to you, our football maybe is about enjoying the game. It's about having a lot of passes together. But now you can't keep the passes with no reasoning of why you want to keep the ball, why you must have a lot of touches in the ball. Now it's all about results. You need to score. You need to win. Because at the end of the day, the supporters, they don't care sometimes that you can keep the ball for 18 minutes or whatsoever, but you lost the game. It's all about the result as well. So I want really, really be open to you and say, look, this is how we're supposed to play. This is our style of play.
And I respect that, because you've provided reasoning and it kind of sets a platform for us to now try and understand, because you've dealt with different areas, you've dealt with different provinces, and you've dealt with different players. So I'm going to respect. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Coca-Cola Space, powered by Hollywood Bet. We are going to be giving away some vouchers, so be on the lookout for that. Do take a screenshot of the account once you've set it up, and you can place a minimum bet of 10 rands. And we'll, who knows, you might be one of the winners. We've already given away 3 vouchers. Tati, let's now get into the real meat of us, because the introduction phase, I feel that we've covered that. We know what you do. We know what you're all about right now.
Yeah.
When you have to set up e-systems in place, when I say to you, I need a player X that fits this mold, that fits this profile, that fits this this type of player, do you have it? Do you go and visit different regions? Because I remember there was a time when people said in South Africa, if you want a striker, you must go to KZN. If you want a defender, you must go to a certain region. If the mandate comes and you get an email that says, we are looking for a defender, have you identified those countries that would say, these countries are synonymous for producing defenders? Or is it a matter of being open-minded and finding any player that you can find anywhere in the world?
Okay, with my experience, I've been doing scouting now for plus minus 18 years. When you give me an information of what you're looking for, firstly, I go to my database. And on that database, I know exactly. If you're saying you're looking for a center back, maybe I can point 3 to 6 countries that I might find something in terms of the profile of the defender that you're looking for. But at the very same time, you need to be open. Maybe you think the center back come from West Africa, but you find the center back in North Africa or you find in the East. So yes, you will have your priority to say, I've got this region where, remember, West Africa, it's a hub of talent, whether you like it or not. If you want to find players, whether it's in any position, you go to West Africa. But at the very same time, you don't ignore the other countries as well, the other regions. You say, maybe I might find something here and so forth. So yeah, you have that that area where you said, okay, let me first go to South America, I mean, to West Africa and check what can you find there. Then, but you do that also through your database, because as a scout, you must create your own database. I've got my own database with a plus minus 960 players around Africa. Not to say those 960 players are good enough to play for my team or something, but you're creating a database where you find a player that you like. You might like a player, but that player doesn't fit in your team at the very same time. So it's true, you must have a database. You must also have regions where you know you can find it. But in South Africa, you can't do that to the academy level. You can find anything, but whether we like it or not, through my experience, in South Africa, the province with good talent, with top talent, it's KZN. There's a lot of talent in KZN, Likoko, but I'm going to be honest, I've been in this game for quite so long. KZN has got a lot of talent. At the very same time, KZN has a lot of players who are cheating when it comes to age.
Would you then say the fact that there's so much talent, it now puts pressure on the player to try and do whatever is necessary to try and get ahead?
Look, years ago, let's say around about 2000 to 2006, 2007, these age cheat things, they were done by the coaches and at the school, you know, or the club level, because winning sometimes in academy coaches is all about everything. You are in an under 14 tournament, you want to win by all means. You put in a 15-16-year-old because you want to win. You want to be recognized as a youth coach that you have won this. But also at the later stage, the players as well end up doing this. For example, I have, during my time at Ajax, I have caught about a lot of players who have done the age cheating, but I don't want us to dwell much on that because at the end of the day, it's existing, or it needs to be able to exist.
And is it rife as we make it out to be? Do you think that's one of the reasons why we stagnate in terms of progress? Because you have players that claim to be a certain age, but they're not. And when they're supposed to be reaching the age that they should peak, they've now gone over the hill.
I don't think now it's still maybe it's the same as before in the last maybe 15 years ago. I don't think maybe it's better now, but it used to be very, very rough. It used to be bad. And I don't think now it's, but I've been working in the international stage now in the last few years. So I've not been much in the academy level, even though I'm doing it as well. But and currently, I think we have found a way of how to catch them, how to get them if he's doing that.
And what's this way, if you don't mind sharing?
Look, we had to go to the schools now. There's something called a SMS number from the school. That number, if you got that number from grade 1, you will have that SMS number till the grade 12. So if you come to me, I need a school report. I need to do a research about your schooling. I need to know, even if you are at grade 9 or grade 11, I need to know where did you start schooling at grade 1. I need to go to that school as well to do my research. Do you know Likoko? When did you start? All of those things. So we end up being able to win like that.
And I'm glad we going back to the schools, because over and over again, there's been an emphasis of how important that school sport is and how much we've neglected school sport. I just want to acknowledge and be grateful for the fact that we have gone back to school sport. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Likokola Space, powered by Hollywood Bet. We are talking to Utathera Maliwa. He is a scout extraordinaire. I call him scout extraordinaire because he's been so long in the game and he's produced so much talent in the country. If you remember back then, we one of the first recognized, properly recognized development structure would be coming from Ikamva. They were known as the hub of producing talent in the country. And I can confidently tell you guys, he was involved in that project. He has moved on. Years later, he's gained international experience. Years later, he is running one of the best scouting departments in the country. That he, talking about the scouting department, because a lot of people don't know that it is a department. I saw at some point you mentioned when you are a scout, you have to implement and create policy. And once you've created that policy, you have to go through steps in terms of making sure that there's recruitment. The first step would then be recruitment and selection. But I'm interested in the second step, where is entry of a trial player. Looking at it from a layperson, I would say entry of a trial player. For me, I know trials in South Africa as just this one day where there's a lot of people inside. 2,000 people and just say bring 100 rand, bring 300 rand, and you're going to give me a chance to play, and I get 15 minutes chance to showcase what it is that I can do. Is that the case that you're talking about in terms of your policy?
No. I'm glad you asked that. You know, I've always been saying scouting department is very important to any club. And I can tell you, not having scouting department or scouts in your team, you are bound to fail at some point. And I spent a lot of time of my scouting with Ajax Cape Town and learning a lot from the Dutch people. And I created the scouting policy at Ajax Cape Town. It was about maybe 60 to 80 pages. And then scouting policy, it helps you in terms of how does the player come and how does the player go to your club. You know, if you don't have that policy, you will never survive, because you will end up, you don't want a situation whereby everyone in the club is bringing in players. It doesn't work like that. You end up a security guy in the gate is bringing in a player. That means there is no policy there. We need to find a policy of say, okay, how does a trialist come in here at the club? How does he train? Who does he train with? So you need to first create a scouting policy. And that policy will guide you on everything, especially on how the player comes and how the player leaves the building. So you don't find everyone in the building, you're bringing in the players. You go to the training session, there's a new player. You don't even know how he came in. And I think that's a problem that we have. That's a problem that we have, because even those that are claiming to having scouts, but I can tell you there's no policy, there are no policy. You need to create a policy. So I've learned those things during my time at Ajax. And remember, when I've mentioned the fact that when I spent my 2 years in Amsterdam in Ajax, it was all about learning, getting to know how they do things. Because you go around Europe, I mean, Ajax Amsterdam is known of producing talent and in terms of identifying talent. So this is why I spent my 2 years there and learned after I left Ajax and get everything.
And, you know, you mentioned being in Holland, and I remember there was one Dutch coach that said a lot of people don't realize the fact that they talk about training and they talk about development of a player, and once you mention that, people assume that you are talking about a structured development, you're talking about a place where players would then grow and there's this bubble that they'd be kept in and they'll be developing and they become magical players. But they don't realize the fact that most of the development will be happening in the streets. We've lost the street. Street football doesn't exist anymore. I can say, because now we're dealing with the PlayStation generation. Does that make it hard for you guys? Because the love of being physically active as players for us growing up would then keep us active in playing and would then ensure that we continuously develop as players.
Can you rephrase that question again?
So I just want to understand that if it has made life easier for you, the fact that we don't have street footballers, has it made life easier in a sense that now you are, because when the player is now developing, they are doing it in the ground, they're doing it with you guys, they no longer have that time where they're playing in the street. Does it make it easy for you guys? Does it get rid of the bad habits that they would pick up from the streets?
No, sometimes in those years we would watch a street game. You just watch maybe a 5v5 played somewhere, anywhere on the street. It used to help us. And at Ajax, we're encouraging players to play on the streets, the street football, to play in, because it's helping us in terms of how they dribble or how they do their things there. But at the very same time, they know what we're expecting on them. I think now that there is no school football at the moment and also the street games, it kind of derailed of how we find this talent out there. But also, I don't think it's a big issue at the moment because of this modern football. So, and there's a lot of things now. Parents don't want their kids to play football in the street because there's a lot of things. Things have changed. Life have changed. There's a lot of gunfire around the streets and so forth. Who wants his kid to be on the streets? So it's no longer the same.
Tati, you mentioning parents and you mentioning the fact that there's a lot of gunfire in the streets. I have a worry, and maybe you as a scout, you can maybe say, Lekoko, you're just being worried for nothing, or Lekoko, your worry is warranted. I see a trend where now football has become about money. It has become about paying. You have to pay for the proper development structure. You have to pay for top coaches. You have to get your child into a structured development. I've known growing up football as a gateway out of poverty for most of the kids. Are we then taking football away from the disadvantaged? Is football going to be a well-off, a sport for the rich, a sport for the elite, a sport for people that can pay for development structure and be part of it?
Yeah, things have changed, Lekoko. You go around, all around, you find an academy, and in that academy, you have to pay to be part of that. Your son, if you want to be part of that academy, you have to pay a certain amount. And I it's difficult to... It's no longer the same in the Lekoko of how we used to do things in football. We can say about this modern football and so forth and so forth, but I'm still using the old ways sometimes. In most of my times or what I'm doing, I'm still using the old ways because that's where we succeeded. Or this is how I succeeded, you know. And, you know, in football, to such an extent, maybe I can move away from it. Because, you know, in football now, when you're looking for a player, there's a lot of analysis that you must do with the player. You must cover fields like this. You must have these numbers and so forth. And I don't mind. I use that. But I believe my naked eye is more important than watching the player on TV. And I think that's one of the reasons some of the teams are failing is because these days, these YouTube things now that are available to all of us, and thinking that watching a player on YouTube, you will find a gem. And it's not like that. So, as I'm saying, there's a lot of things that have changed, especially in our academy. In our grassroots level, Lekoko, we are struggling. The whole country. Grassroots level, we are struggling. I'm telling you, my brother, when we do the assessment and the trials, you go all over the country and you're watching a 14 or 16-year-old playing and you realize that he has missed a lot of coaching. Now, that is why now they don't progress into a professional level, because you find him at 16, but he has missed a lot of hours from 15 to 11. From 11 years old to 15, he has missed a lot of hours of training. And that is why we end up finding players like Teko Modise at 24-year-olds. But where was he when he was 16?
And what, having worked with the Dutch, when you go and track back, you could see a Ruud van Nistelrooy at 16 and you would know that they'd be perfect. You'd go and see a Van Persie. I mean, Coach Peter spoke about a young Van Persie at some time when he said this was going to be the next best thing. Where do you think, in terms of our training, because we're trying to fix now, we're trying to get to a point where we're going to sort out these problems that we have. Having learned what you've learned with these guys from Ajax, where they got a development proper, what is it that we can try and implement to try and circumvent Lendaba of missing training, players coming into the fray at 24? Where do you see us going, and which direction do we have to change? If you were given the opportunity to change the policy for the whole country and say everybody has to follow this road?
I think it started grassroots, but we must bring qualified coaches to the grassroots level. Let's bring people who, I mean, I've seen Safa, they've been doing the coaching courses since Walter started. And that's a good thing, because we want qualified coaches to coach 7-year-old, 10-year-old, 9-year-old. If we can go back to grassroots, to Goku, it's going to take time for us to reach a level where we should be. But if we started now to go back to the grassroots level and bring all the necessary that are needed in the grassroots level. I mean, we will never fail. I mean, even if people think, let's say, you take a coach, let's say, I'll give an example of which coach. Let's say you take Rulani to under 17. People think, no, Rulani is too good to get under 17. But he needs to start from there so that he can be, with his knowledge of football and his qualification, it helps the kid. You know what I mean? So I think for me, we need to start from scratch. We need to go down to grassroots level and bring coaches, bring equipment, and let's put football in our schools. Because once schools are playing football, it helps the academies as well. Because during the day, let's say we used to have a Wednesday whereby there's a games for schools. After that, you go to training at Ajax. And he has gained something from the school at the very same time he's going to gain something at Ajax, at the club as well. So we need to go back to the grassroots level, bring in qualified coaches. Let's take those coaches to Europe as well. Because, Lukoko, whether we like it or not, if we want our players to go to Europe, to play in Europe, but we don't want our coaches to go and learn in Europe, then what is it? So we need to go. Let's go to these countries. Let's Rulani now during the break was in Brazil. Do you think he was there to go to the pitch? He was going to learn a lot about how Fluminense doing, how the other clubs. It's all about that. Let's take coaches. Mm. Let's take them to Europe. Spend time at Real Madrid. Spend time at Manchester United. Those coaches. Those coaches spend time at Ajax Amsterdam a week or two. Ask questions. Learn. Lukoko was there for 2 years. I've learned a lot from different clubs there on how to identify talent, how to do scouting and so forth. So I think that's where we need to.
And I want us to, because you're now mentioning traveling a lot and being in these countries, being in these European countries, I want us to talk about this madness that is scouting in terms of traveling, because a lot of people might not be getting it. A long time ago, I once saw a tweet from you where you said the madness of traveling hours between countries, it's scary. I remember traveling 39 hours from Peru to Togo via Brazil, SA and France. Flew from George Chavez Airport in Peru to Sao Paulo, 4 to 4.5 hours. When I got to Sao Paulo at 18:45, my next flight was at 3 a.m. Take us through that. Because
my friend... You know. If you're starting doing scouting, let's say internationally, and you had your first trip, I'm telling you, when you come back, you just resign. You never go back again. It's scary. It's dangerous. It's hectic, Lukoko. International, it's not for everyone. You need to be a strong character, and you need to have a passion of what you're doing. There's a lot of red flags also on your trip. So what you do. When you are about to go in a certain country, you need to spend about a week or two doing your research about that country. You're not doing research about football, but there's a whole country. Who's this country? If I'm going to Bolivia, I need to do my research about Bolivia. Who is the president of Bolivia? What is the currency they use? What kind of taxes they use in there? What kind of people are they? How many people in that country? There's a lot, because you don't just want to go there, take a flight and go. That country will swallow you. Because we think maybe it's dangerous to be in South Africa, but I can tell you it's dangerous to be in Brazil than in South Africa. And people, they don't know that. And you're traveling around West Africa. I saw now one of the journalists of that I've been in Ivory Coast, they took a bus from Abidjan to Korogo and they were crying like, this is madness. imagine they are only there for a week and it's only madness. I've been doing that for many years and it's more than madness. So it's very dangerous. It's very, you need to be a strong character, you need to be strong. You need to know why you're doing this. There's a lot of things, even my club, I've never told them the other stories of what happened. There were times where our flight was almost kidnapped by the Boko Haram in Benin. There were times where I was detained in Bolivia for 3 days. A lot of things, people that they don't know. You sleep at the airport, because your next flight is in the next 9 hours or 10 hours. There's no hotel in the airport. They don't allow you to go outside the hotel. Where are you gonna sleep? You sleep in the chairs. So it's very hectic. It's very dangerous as well. But I enjoy a lot.
And I would assume now a lot of people know you, that you've been in in the field for some time. You get to a Brazil and they would know you. I mean, you can't keep a low profile anymore now. Have you ever had an instance where you were threatened? Because I mean, if you're coming to my country, you are here to take my best players, and if you're here to take my best players, I still want them and I want to keep them for whatever reason, whether it be making money or whether it be keeping them in my team.
No, the good thing, the thing is in scouting, when you go, you watch for a certain player. First of all, don't go to Brazil or Venezuela to look for a player that you don't know. First, you have done your job here in terms of who are you looking for. Okay, I'm looking for Lugogo. Where is he playing? He's playing in Venezuela. Which club is this guy? So you do your research. So when I go there in Venezuela, I'm not going to go to his club and say, I'm here to watch Lugogo. No, I'm just going to the stadium like anyone else go to the stadium. They don't know me. But I'm doing my own notes while I'm watching Jay and so forth. Yes, I might be well known through contacts, but not by the clubs sometimes. The club will know you when becoming the negotiation process with the club. Then they said, okay, this was a guy that was in Bolivia. So the players that we brought or the players that we have seen coming, they don't know us. They only know us when we signed them. And when you tell him that, listen, I was watching your four games, you know, in Brazil against ABC. And he's asking, were you at the stadium? I said, yeah, I was there. I was at the stadium. So that's how it is. And that's how it works. But yeah, the contacts and the well-known, yeah, people, they know me very well because the word goes around, especially in those countries as well, or any country, to say, there's a scout in South Africa by the name of this guy. You must talk to him. You must this and this. So, yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, the lines are officially open. You're more than welcome to request. If you have a question for Udati, I will accept. You can also DM me the question and I will pass it on or put it on the timeline. I'll also put it on. Udati, we've had instances where you bring players or other scouts from other teams where they would bring players. We know for a fact that if a team doesn't perform, the coach will take the flag. Is that the case with the scouts? If you bring in a Umswahla, or if you bring in Umdu, or if you bring in
to be honest, it's like that. They will point a finger at you, but not maybe in a bad way, or maybe they don't point fingers at you while you're listening, but they will tell someone else to say, "Ish, the players are not here, and I don't know what's going on." But it's normal, and it doesn't always be like that, you know, to point a finger at them. But it should be all of us in the technical team to point fingers to each other, because when we brought that player, I didn't make my final decision. I brought everyone on board to say, listen, for instance, when we're looking for a certain position, in scouting now, that's how they use in Europe. We've got these apps, they called Instant, Way Scout and so forth. It's a lot of them recently. It's about 9 to 10, whereby, let's say, I'm looking for a striker. You go to an app, and that particular app, let's say Instant was the one that we use most. You go to Instant. The Instant has got plus minus 4,000 to 5,000 players around the world. Okay, and you click maybe one player that you have. Let's say a certain agent or someone has sent you a player, recommending a player from Brazil. And then you put the player, click the player on the Instant, the player games are all there. It tells you how many minutes he's played, how many games he's played, and his videos. And his videos are there. But you must be clever enough to say, okay, this is the striker that I'm looking for in front of me. Let me check the other ones that are in the same level or him or better than him. So you just click somewhere on the Instant, then there will be about 20 to 30 strikers that are there. So you need to go in each and every one of them, watching them, until you find this one you think, okay, this one suit how we play, this one is score goals, and this and this and this and that. And then after that, you must download his games. So you're going to download from that app about 6 games to 10 games, and then you download to keep those games. Now, you must watch those games. Remember, Lukaku, the game is 90 minutes. You are watching 6 games. So it can take you a whole week or a whole game, because you need to write down your notes as well about this player. Get more information about him from the app, from the Instant. Download games, watch games, cut clips as well. Cut those things that you like and cut the clips, the things that you don't like as well. So after that, you have done finishing that and you think this is the player that you like, and you have cut clips and you have downloaded games. Now, you must do a presentation to the technical team. Okay, so okay, guys, I have found this. Let's come and have a look. So you put those clips that you have cut it on the presentation. Everyone is there, is watching. They do their notes. Maybe they feel like, I think we like these guys. Then they will ask for two games. Let's say you've got a technical team of six people. Each of them must get two games, two full games. Watch two full games on your spare time, wherever you are. Come back in the next 3-4 weeks. Let's talk about what two guys have watched. If we all agreed from them to say, we have watched this game of this player, he did this, like, this player is a good player, I like this person. Now, the next step, it doesn't end there, Nico. So everyone have agreed this is a good player. Okay, Tierra, take the next step to watch the player live. It's important, Nico, to watch the player live. So you look and said, okay, the player is playing in Chile. Okay, the next step now is for me to go to Chile. Before I go to Chile, I have to do a research. Which games are they playing in the next 2-3 weeks? Where are they playing? What time? What time? What type of football are they playing in the field and so forth? You go to Chile, you watch all those 5-6 games. That means you will be there for 3-4 weeks in Chile watching this player and so forth. It happens sometimes that while you're there, you saw someone else as well. So that's how we do it, and that's how it has worked for us as well. And it's working for us, but there's a lot of job behind that people don't know about it, because you don't just get a player, go and get the player. You must do your own research, because you don't want the player to come and fail in your country. Because remember, in scouting, we, as international scouting, we must bring players that are better than what we have in the country. Okay, because there's no use if I'm going to go and bring a player that is not better than what we have in the country. So for you to know whether he's better or not, you have to go to his country, watch it. And while you're there, on your last days there, do a research about this particular player. Okay, this is Lukaku. How kids does he have? Which school has he went to? Which club has he played in during his young age? You need to get all of those things. You don't want to bring a murderer into your country, but you didn't know. I'm just making an example. So there's a lot of research that you do and so forth. Yeah.
And I've heard Inantsika, a coach, mentioning about he termed it Instagram scouting, where yes, you know the player is good, yes, you know the player can play, but you look at the lifestyle, you look at the habits that they do, and social media becomes an easier tool to first tap into this player and find out their lifestyle outside of football.
Yeah, that's very important as well. You need to check their lifestyle. You know, sometimes for us, we want them to get married. He must have a wife, because we feel like when he's like that, because you don't want to bring him to your country and he start looking for girls around the malls. You know what I mean? So we look at those things, you know, his private life, how is he doing, what the Twitter is going to tell us, the Instagram is going to tell us, and so forth and so on.
Ladies and gentlemen, the lines are open. You're more than welcome to request and pose your questions. You can also DM me the question. I have a question. Who makes the final decision? Yeah, that he, if everybody has seen, you've given the report. You've come. You've had those two games. You've watched. You've gone live. You've gone and watched them live. You came back. You gave the report. Everyone is happy. Who then makes this final decision?
It's the head coach. The whole, in an international level, professional level, the head coach is going to have the final say of whether he wants the player or not. For us, it's doing our job, giving him the information and everything, watch and so forth. So he's making the final, but in the academy level, I make the academy the decision as a head of scouts. I remember when I made a decision. If you remember the name, the player by the name of Rivaldo Coutinho, when he came to us at ISK Town at 14, no one wanted him. That time I was a head scout. He came to us. From Kakamas. He came to us during 3 school holidays in June, in September, and in December, and he was chased away. But because of I saw something in him when I first saw him, I realized that maybe these guys, the coaches, they don't see what I've seen to this boy. So I had to make a decision as a head to say, you know what, guys, this boy has been here for about 6 months, coming in, out. You know, I'm going to make a decision. I remember I called a meeting. It was George Committee's, Corneille Hollander, she was the head of the academy, and the other guy, the coach. I said, listen, guys, I'm making a decision today. The player has been denied to join us, but as a head of scout, I'm making a decision today. I'm signing Rivaldo. And if you coaches think you are a good coach, you're going to help him to become one of the good players. The rest is history. So at academy level, you can make those decisions as a head of the scout and say, look, I'm bringing this player, I'm signing this player. You must sort him out. You must must help him to improve if he need to improve somewhere. Because there's this tendency in the coaches, sometimes academy, that no, the player he has not been coached where he come from. But who are you expecting to coach this boy if he train with one ball with 20 kids? You have seen that he's got talented, but he miss coaching. Now he's here, he's not going to miss coaching, he's going to help him being coached. But in professional level, you've got sport directors, you've got head coach, but the final person that will make a final call is the head coach.
Right, Dati, before I give Uchix a chance, I have questions on the timeline. This is one question. It said, I'm just paraphrasing the question. Do you think all teams need a scouting department? And the reason they're asking this is because they say some teams, they function by getting loans. So would you still need to scout even a player that's in the league that you're playing in to say, okay, he would fit our style, we'll need him on loan and stuff like that? Or does it only happen when you sign this player and he becomes your player?
No, all clubs need to have a scouting department. It should be compulsory from the club owners. If you want to succeed in this game, coaches, they don't have time to go and watch the football in the community. They don't have time to go and watch football somewhere. These scouts are on the ground. The scouts are the one that knows the talent. So it's important to have the scouts and this department of scouting.
Right, Datix. You've asked for the mic, I've given it to you. You're more than welcome to pose your question.
Thanks, Likoko. Hey, Ntate Maliwa, good evening. Right, I'll try not to be naughty tonight. I'm a great follower of your work. I admire your work a lot, and I think you're doing an amazing job. And mine might be a comment and a bit of a question. What I've realized is that us as supporters, by the time we see a player and we are raving about a player and we're saying the scouting are not doing their job, you guys have already seen him maybe 2 years back. You will hear, this player, you guys are talking about this player. This player, I've seen him 3-4 seasons back. And you guys, your job is thankless, you know, because when a team sign good players, you don't get the credit. But when there are misses, you get all the insults. And it is quite a thankless job. Some of us who get to have behind-the-scene conversation and see some of the work that you are doing, it's amazing. And I am great admirer of your work. I'm going to ask a very naughty question, but it must be asked. It's not personal. Can scouting be replaced by YouTube and can we do digital scouting and be successful? Can we say we are getting rid of the scouting department in our team and we are going to do digital scouting? We will use an app here. We will find data there to get. Is it possible that the traditional scouting way of scouting players can be replaced? Because we are living in the digital era now, and we have got artificial intelligence, and we've got all these other things. So can we really say, you guys, we don't need Terra, we don't need so-and-so, we're going to close this thing. We will definitely do it online and we'll get an app. Is there an app that can replace?
So Terra, Uchix is asking if you can do AI scouting. Is it possible?
Okay.
Now that we are in the artificial intelligence era.
Yeah. Thanks, Chicks. Let me first the one that you spoke about in terms of players coming to the country. We know, etc. I can tell you all the foreign players that have come to this country. I know them before they come here. I've seen them play somewhere. So we all know them. All the foreigners that come to this country, we know them. We have watched them. We had a reason why we never bring them to the country. So yeah, we know all of them. And also your last question, that's not possible. The digital scouting, I've heard it somewhere that people are doing digital and so forth. It's good to have the numbers to know the numbers of this particular player and to watch his videos somewhere, how he ran and so. But it will never work. You can't get if we had a scouting, you can't get rid of the scouting because the old ways of doing scouting is still working for us even now. So it's not going to work to think to say we can get rid of this department. Let's follow the apps. Let's follow this internet thing. And for me, maybe someone else would think otherwise. But for me, it will never work for us. And it's not a good idea because, you know, there are things that the numbers that doesn't show. If you using the digital, you want to check the numbers. But there are things that the digital doesn't show in terms of this player that you want. That is why it's important to watch a player live before you can. It's a thing of when I've seen people that get to know about a player from YouTube or from an agent, we decide to bring the player down for a trial. That's not supposed to be like that. You don't have to bring the player for a trial that you don't know about it. First, go to that player and watch him before you bring him for final assessment. We call it final assessment. Bring the player first before he comes here, first go to him. If he's in Zambia, people have been making a lot of noise about a Zambian player that is good like this. And go to Zambia, watch this player. You like him in Zambia, bring him for final assessment to your club.
See him in his natural environment.
Yes, yes. That's very, very important. So I don't think in terms of this digital thing will work for us. I doubt it will never.
And one more question, Lihip, if you allow me, Likoko, if you allow me. Is there any player in the current AFCON that you have watched, you have recommended, and maybe you were beaten to him by an overseas team, and then you said, hey, you know this one, I've watched him on that, or there's a player that you might say, anywhere in the world, is there a player that you can give us? If you are not comfortable to give us names, it's okay. But if you are comfortable to say, if you can say, this one, I've seen him in Chen, because there are players now at. And then I'll tell you why I'm asking this question. I'm asking this question because we are talking about minnows and small teams, right?
Yeah.
But some of these players, you saw them 5-6 tournaments ago at Chen, and they were already shining. We don't know about them. We seeing them now at AFCON, and we are already. But you can say, no, this one, I've seen him when he was playing at under 17. In Morocco, or I've seen him in Swaziland, or there's a player I've seen, I might not give you the name, but if you look in 2 years' time, he might. So those are kind of things. And lastly, it explains why you need to stay where you are loved. It explains why you couldn't swim across the Jack's Gate. Chicks, thank you very much.
let me go through it. Yes, there are players that we were interested that are in the AFCON that I recommended. Number 25 of Senegal, Lamine Camara. I saw him 2022 playing for his academy in Senegal when I was in Senegal. I think at that time he was 15, if not 16. And then I followed him to Algeria 2023 January during the Chen in Algeria, where he was a player of the tournament and young player of the tournament. From there, I followed him to Egypt in the under 20 AFCON last year as well. So we tried to get him, his club in Senegal has got a partnership with Metz in France. So when they realized that there's someone called Terra who's monitoring this player, they decided to take the player to Metz in France. There are a few as well, even the number 10 of Namibia, Chikwetsi, the young boy. I saw him in 2021 as well in under 16 tournament in PE. I think it was COSAFA. And then I've been following him. I think there were times where he was supposed to come to us in the academy for assessment, but some agent took him to Portugal, and then he came back to Namibia. So it's true. There are players in the AFCON that we know them even before they moved to Europe, because most of them have moved to Europe. I'll give an example. There's one who moved yesterday, but he's not in AFCON. He was in the Chen Ivory Coast squad Sankara Karamoko, just moved now to Wolfsburg in Austria. And I saw him January 2023, and I wanted to bring him for assessment. He was young, he's 19 or 20 years old. So yes, it is. It's like that. We know a lot of players that we've seen, we've watched them more than anyone else. And someone will ask, okay, Tera, why you are not at AFCON? Guys, I can give you a simple answer. The reason why we don't attend the main tournament. I don't attend the main tournament like the AFCON, for instance, now, because in this age level, it's not going to be easy for you to get players there, because all the scouts, the sport directors from Europe, Manchester United, PSV, all the Juventus and every, all the sporting director and scout are in Ivory Coast at the moment. Now tell me, if I need a player there and is wanted by Juventus as well, where the player would you think he will choose? Do you think he's going to choose to come to Sundowns instead of Juventus? Mm-hmm. So you are just wasting your time if you go to such big tournaments and looking for players. You need to watch AFCON qualifiers, where those guys, they don't attend the AFCON qualifiers. So that is where my space is, to say, okay, we are qualifying for AFCON, I'm going to watch all the games, all the national teams around West Africa or around Africa during the qualifiers. So yeah, it is like that. There are players. If you look at Lamine Kamara at Senegal, we wanted him, we recommended him in December 2022, January 2023 during the Trent tournament in Algeria. I don't know. I'm not sure what was your last question.
He was talking about the ASK, but we can leave that one. He said you must stay where you are allowed. It was more of a comment than a question. That our time has come to an end, but I'm just going to quickly just ask you two questions and then we wrap it up. I let you go. That you said earlier on, when you're relaying the story of a player that was that had to go to another team, you said they said someone called Terra who was here looking for you. Has someone called Terra been banned from how many training sessions have you been banned from, or how many red flags have you been placed under in different countries? Have you kept record of that?
It is my first time being banned at my former club, which is IX/Cape Town Spurs. I've got that, as a club, we got that letter from Alexi, where he was banning me from coming to Ikamba, but I don't even see a reason why I should go in Ikamba for that matter. But I'm not going to dwell much on this, because we are busy doing our internal thing and trying to sort this out. But it's not, for us, it's not a big issue. I mean, you get players all over. I'll give an example. Spurs get players from local teams in Khayelitsha, Kukuletu. What do they do after that? Do they buy them? Do they give kit or beeps or something like that? But now, when someone wants a player from them who's not contracted, they are coming all the way and making noise around the country, which is, for us, it doesn't bother, but we want to go through it and maybe let them know that this is scouting and this is how we're going to do. If I feel like I need this player and so forth, I'm going to find a ways of me getting the player and so forth. But I think it's just unnecessary noise that they are making, because there are teams who are complaining to them in our community, who they just pick, go in our community, take the player. They don't even leave a peep. They don't even leave soccer balls or whatsoever. Now someone wants to come in and take the players from them. They are crying. And if the players were, let's say, they were contracted, definitely we go to them and say, guys, we're looking. But the most player that they are making noise about is a 12-year-old. They only get that player in 2022, in 2021. It's all, the player has been there only for them for 2 years. So what do they say? What are they saying? They developed the player for 2 years. It's not enough. If I take that 12-year-old to Sundowns, he's going to be with us for the next 6-7 years. I've developed the player more than them.
Thank you for providing clarity on that. Dati, any high-profile player that you've scouted worth mentioning? Because I remember Coach Mangoma once mentioned Vinicius Jr. Can you just brag to us a little bit? Because people don't believe these things when they are being said. So as the person who goes there and scouts these players, notable players?
Yeah, they are. When they scouted Vinicius, I was not there. I think it was Coach Pizzo. And I remember I was brought to Sundowns by Coach Pizzo. But there's a lot of players they've identified. I've identified Isaac Ikas from Sweden at 16-year-olds, the one who's at Newcastle now. At 16-year-olds, I think that was 2016, if I'm not mistaken. I even recommended him to Ajax Amsterdam, who they just ignored me at that time. to say, no, Tera, we've got someone in Sweden, you should know this player. But I said, look, I saw this player and he's a good player. But later on, he joined Borussia Dortmund. And then, so there are players that we have seen that are playing international league and good leagues and big league that sometimes the players, they choose where they want to go in Alikoko. They will never always come to Sundowns. They've seen, the, especially the ones in South, in West Africa, they're looking at going to Europe. Yes, they want to come to Sundowns as a step stone, but if something comes for them quicker than Sundowns, they will always choose to go to Europe.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's how we come to the end of our space. I hope you had your notepads and your pens ready. I have a feeling we might have a part two, but I'll speak to Tati. I do thank you, Kulua, for taking your time and availing yourself. I know you're a very busy human being. So, Engosi, Kulua, ilalili abulela. We're grateful.
Engosi, and thanks to everyone who are listening. Thanks, my friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the chat will be available on our Apple podcast. It will also be available on Spotify. We will upload as soon as we upload. Please do go check and subscribe and make sure that when we do upload, you have the chat and it's documented for generations to come. Thank you for taking your time and listening in. I do appreciate each and every moment that you spend with me and we grow as a community. Remember to treat the people that you write. We go again next week where we're going to be talking about European-based players and the challenges that they've experienced, especially the South African ones. So do make sure that you diarize that. Make a note. Get your questions ready and we're going to be talking about that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for time. Thank you for taking your time and being in the space. Remember to treat the people that you love. I love you all. Cheers, cheers.
Bye. Thanks.